men have been singing lately, and that's good stuff to hear. I like it. Hey, how many of you brought a King James Bible tonight? Amen. King James Bible, that's what you ought to carry to church at all times. Please take your King James Bible tonight, and we are turning to Proverbs 22, verse 28. That's my text for tonight. We're on our sixth sermon, I believe. It's on separation, careful separation, and Proverbs 22 is where we're going to go, and verse number 28 tonight as we do our text. Now, I've said this before, I'll say it again tonight. Our former pastor used to say the problem with the church is kind of following the world, but being the world light. The church is following the world, not the Word, capital W-O-R-D, the Lord, and the written Word. No, the church is following the world, but lagging behind, he said, about 10 years. I remember years ago, probably the early 1990s, around 1992, I flew to an airport somewhere, I forgot where it was, Atlanta, and I met with about 10 preachers. And one of those preachers was Dr. Jack Hiles. And these 10 preachers had won a contest, I was one of them, to go on a trip to the Holy Land. And I joke about that. The Holy Land was go to Texas, because Texas is where Jack Hiles had some holy meetings with God. And we were going to go to his memory places. And so we met there, and we went to Texas. And I remember we had a tour bus, and big, tall NBA basketball player, about 7 feet tall, was driving the bus, a black guy that Brother Hiles had got. He was from the NBA, and he was driving the bus for us. And Brother Hiles' son was there, and his preachers, and we had a great time. It was great touring the holy sites of Jack Hiles. And as we were coming down toward the end of our trip, we were at a motel in Dallas, Texas. And I remember we were eating there that night, and I remember joking with Brother Hiles, talking about, I just came back and I got Reese's Pieces on top of my ice cream. And when I said that, his eyes just went, ugh. And I was lying, because there was no Reese's Pieces. It was something else. But he went there to get the Reese's Pieces. But he came back, and I remember a question that was asked by one of the preachers who said basically this. He said, Brother Hiles, what is the greatest enemy of fundamentalism today? And I'll never forget it. Brother Hiles said, well, first of all, you have to establish what is fundamentalism. Fundamentalism is a faithful adherence to the truth of God, where you stick with the Word of God and the truths of God. And so that is what we're talking about. What is the greatest enemy to people adhering to the truth of God? And you know what he said? He said, children growing up and parents following their children rather than the Word of God. Parents following their children rather than staying with the Word of God. And when I think about that, I'm thinking about the text tonight in Proverbs chapter 22:28. Here's what it says. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. You know, I'm thinking about that. And I'm thinking about in the Bible, there was a wicked king. And he had an even more wicked woman that he was married to. And that made him more wicked. And this wicked king was named Ahab, and the woman was Jezebel. And Ahab had asked a man named Naboth to sell his vineyard to him. And Naboth said, I can't do that. that would make me to violate the word of God, I am to keep the ancient landmark of my property and not sell my property. Even though you're a king and you have a lot of money, God's word says, no, you not to sell the borders that are yours, that are given to you by God. And Naboth feared God. He loved God. And so he said, I can't do it. And Ahab went home. And he was all depressed and sullen, and he laid down the bed and faced the wall like a little spoiled boy. And his wife came by, Jezebel came by. What's wrong? Why are you so sullen? And he said, well, Naboth wouldn't move the landmark. He wouldn't let me buy his property. I promised him I would give him good money for it. And she said, are you the king in Israel or not? What are you doing moping around? You're the king. And she said, I'll give you the vineyard of Naboth. And she wrote letters lying about Naboth, saying he blasphemed and saying he did these sinful things. And he was brought up for a kangaroo court trial. And old Jesse was spurring it all on. And at that trial, it kind of reminds me of Hillabell, you know, and what she did to Trump. But all these fake trials, you know, the Russia collusion, all that kind of, nothing new under the sun. And she got old Naboth in. And yeah, he was guilty, and the penalty for the crime that he quote-unquote did, which was a lie, was stoning. And they stoned Naboth to death. And old Jezebel, she went up to her husband and said, now go get your vineyard. He walked into the vineyard, you know. But God saw it all, and he sent a man of God there by the name of Elijah. And Elijah told him, he was right there in the vineyard when he got there. And he was the enemy of Ahab because Ahab kept sinning. And he said to Ahab, he said, you're going to die. And your blood's going to be shed right here in this area. And it all happened exactly as God said through Elijah. But tonight, the message is, remove not the ancient landmark. And I want to quote Jeremiah 6:16, which says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Can I have Mrs. Bloom up here for a moment? And I have a Bible. A Bible. Yeah, maybe that too.
This one might fall apart.
Oh, that one might fall apart?
But you can hold it. Just
all right. Does anybody have a Bible that won't fall apart? I need a Bible. Mrs. Bloom, if you could stand, actually not up here, just right there. All right. Oh, she's got a Bible. Great. You just hold that Bible. You just hold that Bible. All right. And then can I have maybe I'll have Marilla? Marilla, you want to come on up here? Marilla? And let's see here. And you just stand right next to Mrs. Bloom. And then if I could have Joanne Gatto. Joanne, would you come on up here? And you just stand next to Marilla, Joanne. Very good. All right. And then I am going to ask for Camille. Camille, come on up. Now, stand right there. All right, now when we talk about the ancient landmarks, and I'm going to go to this. When we talk about the ancient landmarks, we're talking about certain things that are written in the Bible that our forefathers in the Baptist faith practiced from the Word of God, and then they passed that down. You say, what are you talking about, practice? The Bible says before you teach somebody something, you have to do it yourself. You don't teach it and then do it. You do it first, then you can teach it. So here's a lady, let's say she represents back in the 1800s, and she's been doing and teaching the old fundamental truths of the Bible. And she's going to hand this off to this lady, and this represents another generation. So, and see how she takes it, and now she's going to do it and practice it. And you try to hand it off to Joanne. See if you're successful. There's another generation, and she takes it, and she practices it. Now, you have to recognize in our history in America, this happened just like you saw. And then we came to somewhere in the Laodicean era, somewhere in the 1900s. And this is what happened. So hand that off to Camille. Huh. Wow. Let's give these ladies a hand. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Right there. All right. That is, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. That's exactly what happened in the 1900s as we talk about careful separation and handing off the ancient ways of doing things that fundamental believers did and independent fundamental Baptists did. And what a sad thing. And I'll read the verse again in Jeremiah 6:16. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths." Now that's what Mrs. Bloom did. And that it in turn is what Marilla did. And that in turn is what Joanne did. But you saw Camille, she just walked right away. Now I asked her to do that. She didn't do it. You understand. I put her up to it. For a lesson, but that's exactly what happened for a generation of men and of ladies, especially of ladies. And so it says, but they said, we will not walk therein. And I remember when God gave me this scripture, he highlighted, we will not walk therein, but they said, we won't do it. And God said, you've got to be ready for a generation or people that will hear the word of God and they will not be carefully separated. They will not do what it says. And they will not go the fundamental way. And by the way, that doesn't mean I don't love somebody because they don't take the fundamental way. I love my people. Not every one of my people go the fundamental way and do what God said in that respect. But I love them anyway, and I'll try to help them as much as I can. But nevertheless, when it comes to certain rewards of influence and leadership, then it's very important, listen to me, that you do not remove the ancient landmark. And I'm thinking now of an army of soldiers, and they were standing against the enemy, and with the soldiers was the standard bearer. And you know the standard bearer, he's the one that holds up the flag. And when the fight is going on, if he gets shot and he's going to fall, he gives the standard to the next guy appointed to hold up the standard. And the holding up the flag, that represents, you see, the standards, the principles, the commandments in the Word of God that we have practiced for generation to generation. And the Bible says, don't remove that. Don't give that up. And so here was this standard bearer, and there was a withering assault from the enemy coming up a hill, and the enemy had come right up and taken the hill, and all of the soldiers around the standard bearer ran and retreated and went down the other side of the hill, including the officer that was leading them or retreating. And the officer said, let the standard bearer fall back to the troops. But this particular standard bearer said, let the troops come up to the standard bearer. And when they did that, the army won. Kind of reminds me of Jonathan and Saul. Saul was retreating and hiding, and Jonathan said, let's go and attack the enemy, and God gave him the victory. When it comes to not dropping the standards, I fear that some of you tonight have failed the cause of Christ. And tonight, I want to exhort and command each one of you to remove not the ancient landmark. I want to encourage each one of you to be a faithful standard bearer that will stand there when the battle is the hottest, when it's the hardest, in your family, in your community, in your country. And realize that the Lord raises up people that will say, not the troops go and fall back to the retreat position, but the troops come up to the standard bearer. Don't bring the standard bearer back to the troops. And we've been preaching on Wednesday night about the doctrine of separation. Now, the word holiness is defined as separation, and it's separating yourself from sin. It's separating yourself from the world, which is organized sin against God's word and God's son Jesus and God's way of doing things, and it gives it more power. Satan is behind that organized system that goes against and tries to make it unpopular, tries to make it look silly, and tries to make believers go along with the world. And many believers do. They retreat to the retreating troops and try to bring the standard bearer down. And I'm just saying that we're living in a Laodicean church age. The Laodicean church age started somewhere in the 20th century. And during the Laodicean church period, we got more and more pronounced in a Laodicean attitude, which is against holiness. Now, what is holiness? Separation. Separation from sin, separation from weights that drag you into sin. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, when I start listening to Johnny Cash, it's not long, I'll be in heavy metal music. And one time he came and he brought me all of his heavy metal music and he said, Pastor, break this up for me. And I took all that music and I looked at it and I was breaking it up and smashing it and destroying it. And he said, it all starts when I listen to Johnny Cash. And I get into the heavy metal music. So you see, the Bible says, lay aside every sin and every that does so easily be, and lay aside the weights that drag you into sin. And so separation is separating yourself from anything but the best. And the good can be the enemy of the best, and the mediocre can be any weight. And separate yourself. And separate yourself to God. And separate yourself to be influenced by godly influences. And that is very important, because you hang around with the wishy-washy crowd, you're going to be wishy-washy. And when you're wishy-washy, you're going to get right into sin many times. And so the Bible says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3:1 and verse 4 as well. We're there. We're there. I have said it many times. God is more concerned about your holiness than your happiness. But independent fundamental Baptists today are like the world. They're more concerned about their happiness than they are about holiness. And I'm just saying that that is very common in the church today. And so we need to preach on, remove not the ancient landmark. Naboth wouldn't do it, and it cost him his life. What is it going to cost you? Have you paid the price of holiness? Have you paid the price of perfecting holiness in the fear of God? If you haven't, this is a call for you tonight to wake up and smell the coffee. To wake up and decide, I'm not going to be a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. I've got all eternity to be happy. I've got all eternity to have a good time. Right now, my main goal is I want to be holy. So, today, just the opposite of that is true. Believers who are great in the sight of God, Do not remove the ancient landmarks, even when it comes to keeping what many would consider a small biblical commandment that our forefathers kept and our forefathers valued and passed down, and godly mothers passed it down to their daughters, who passed it down to their daughters, who passed it down to their daughters. But somewhere along the line, somebody said, no, hell no, we won't go. That's what they said in my generation when it came to certain duties in the military. They said, hell no, we won't go. And the men started wearing the long hair, which is a symbol of rebellion against God. And we had the unisex movement that came in the 70s in the United States. And now you see where we are, where it took us. You see, my kind of rock and roll is light compared to what has happened since then. But you see, it's not where you wind up. It's the direction you're going in. And some of you may need to turn that ship around tonight. You need to turn your life around. You need to come out for holiness. Jesus put it this way when we talk about these commandments that people say, oh, they're not that important. Oh, that portion of the Word of God, that's not that important. Most Christians don't do that. I don't think we should worry about that. Well, the Bible says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Do you think Jesus was concerned about the big as well as the small commands? Yeah, he was. And our Lord fulfilled all of these types and shadows of the ceremonial law. And now that he's fulfilled that by coming and dying on the cross and being buried and rising from the dead and giving us a complete salvation, now he's fulfilling, listen to me, the commands of the moral law of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the commands of the moral law of God that reflect the unchanging nature and attributes of God. He said in Malachi 3, I am the Lord, I change not. But oh, God's people change. Oh, they default to the world, follow at a respectable distance, but they're not really following the God of the Bible. And the standard bearer needs to hold up the standard, and here's the standard right here. And the living Word is Jesus Christ Himself. Laodicean believers today want to move these commands that require holiness because it might not make them happy in the moment. You see, they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and some of you have gotten to that point. You're willing to sell out something that is eternal and powerful for a momentary bit of pleasure and escaping pain. And Jesus put it this way. Now listen, he said, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men, notice you do it first and then you teach it. You teach it because you do it. If you're breaking principles of God's word about separation, then you're going to teach that. That's why a Sunday school teacher needs to be somebody that keeps these commands of separation. Because Jesus said, when you break them, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do, notice that, and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. See, Saul wanted to be great, but David got more praise. You see, we should have a life that people will praise God for our life. And you have to do it and be willing to do it before you can teach it and impact others. And that's why we have leadership standards that we have to live by and sign onto in order to teach. So you ask, what are some of these ancient biblical standards of holiness that Laodicean believers have moved and refused to practice? They've moved these ancient landmarks. And I would like to look at just one tonight because of time. Just one tonight that I feel led to talk about. The Bible says, Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And we're handing out hats on Father's Day with lions on them. And a lion is a male lion is what's on that hat. And it says that the righteous are as bold as what? Lions. You need to be bold for the truth. Is the world bold for its sin? Do we have things called gay pride? Oh yeah, they're bold. Do we have all of these cross-dressers and people going into women's sports that are men and going in there and taking the weightlifting time? And are they bold in doing it? Oh, they're bold in doing it. Back in my day when I was a kid, if a man whistled at another man, he's probably going to get punched in the face. They didn't allow that. That's why they... coming out of the closet was a scary thing back in that day. But it's now turned around where God's people are cowering and giving up the ancient landmarks and selling out. So let me just say something to you. If you've sold out this landmark that I want to preach on tonight, the Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Somebody says, I want to wear my two-piece bathing suit and go on the beach and do beach evangelism. I know your college did that. They did beach evangelism. And the kids would go out there wearing bathing suits and the women be showing her thighs and men showing their thighs and their bare tops and all that. Listen to me, that is not what I'm preaching on tonight. But that is against God's word. That's nakedness. And you don't win the world by getting naked with the world, by dressing like the world, by wearing your short shorts, women, or your shorts above the knee, or whatever you wear that exposes it. That doesn't win the world. That just takes the power and blessing of God off. And so people might feel comfortable with you and all that, but you're not going to win them to Christ and to get the old-time religion. No, you're not doing that. So tonight, I want to talk about remove not the ancient landmark. So stop removing the landmark of women wearing only dresses and no pants, period. That's an ancient landmark. That's one that ever since in Western culture and ever since the Reformation impact in Western culture, mother to daughter to daughter to daughter, her daughter to daughter, they have passed that on. I'm talking about women wearing modest dresses and no pants, period. And the women, it says, the woman, I'm sorry, shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for that all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. You say, Pastor, that's making me feel awful uncomfortable. Well, you read the sign out there. It said, Scranton Revival Baptist Church. That's what the old-time Baptists preached all along. Now, I noticed you could be like, I went by today, I took a walk and went up by my house and walked up by Old Baptist High, and I was looking, the building's still there, and it's still there, but it doesn't say Baptist High. It says Summit Christian Academy. And nothing wrong with that, but they took Baptists off it. You see, they're moving the ancient landmark. I don't intend to take Baptists off our sign. I don't intend to stop preaching Baptist convictions that I hold to. And the reason why people stop preaching those convictions is because they've stopped practicing it. Because if you don't do it, you feel squeamish about teaching it, unless you're just a bold-faced hypocrite. Now, I'm saying that the Bible says that homosexuality is an abomination to God.
It's not gay, it's sodomite. God said that witchcraft is an abomination to God. He said that bestiality is an abomination to God. He said that idolatry is an abomination to God. And he said that a forward or perverted mind and heart is also an abomination to God. But, now listen, God also says that when you cross the landmark and ancient boundaries that he has set for how you dress, then you also are an abomination to him when you do that. God not only has boundary lines for nations, and by the way, you see what has happened to our nation. 20 million people came in as if there's no border, no boundaries, and they've come in, and now they're rioting, feeling like we have every right to do that, and they're throwing stones at police cars and everything else. That's what you get when you just remove the ancient landmarks. And God has landmarks for the sexes. Do you ever hear about the pronouns and choosing your pronouns? And how many different pronouns are there they have? About 16, something like that. I don't know. They keep adding the pronouns. How many have heard about the pronouns? It's ridiculous. God has two sexes. That's the ancient landmark right in the book of Genesis. And it's, say it out loud, male and female. Period. And that's all been messed up in this Laodicean era. And many believers have gone along with it. Have you? Are you helping to blur the lines? You can by dressing in a garment that's made for the other sex. God not only has those boundary lines, but I think about a man named Uzzah. God had a boundary line that said, you do not touch the holy ark of God. And Uzzah went over that boundary line. He moved that ancient landmark that God had given to Israel. And he had a good reason for it. You know, we all have excuses and we have reasons why a woman can't wear a dress or can't wear... I've heard every excuse in the book. You know what an excuse is? It's your skin of a reason stuffed with your lie. How do you know a disobedient Christian is lying? Their lips are moving. They lie all the time. Like somebody used to say, you lie like a rug. And that's why we are where we are today. It's God's people's fault. It's independent, fundamental Baptist people's fault. And so it starts with removing the ancient landmark of dress standards that are different for men and women. But I hear some of you say tonight, well, Pastor, the Bible says that. I mean, in Bible times, Pastor, they all wore robes. Didn't they? Didn't they all wear these long robes? Yeah. So, in the Bible, it speaks of men also not only wearing robes, but wearing breeches. And if you look in Webster's Dictionary, 1828, breeches are pants. Pants. Never once in the Bible does God say that women are to wear breeches or pants. If you've got on a man's breeches, and you say, well, I have a woman's breeches. No, breeches are man. I don't care if you put flowers on it or however you do it. It's a man's garment. But if you are wearing breeches, you've crossed the boundary. You say, well, I wouldn't do it in church. Well, what's good for the church is good for the public. We had ladies here when we had the Manna Mansion, and men, unsaved men, working in the community used to say, wow, your women are really modest, and it's a delight to see them and how they dress. You see, people are watching you. They're watching us. We are teaching all the time. And sometimes I've done things where I have had a weight in my life, and that weight may stumble somebody else to get into sin. And so I need to say, hey, let's just get rid of that weight. Let's get rid of that music that might stumble me into sinful music, even though it's maybe not sinful of it. We got to be careful. And I hear some of you object and saying, you know, women and men both wore a robe in the Bible, but men alone wore breeches. And they wore breeches or pants that was long enough to cover their nakedness. That's what God said in Exodus. Even to the high priest, he said, you need to have breeches that are long enough to cover your nakedness. And do you know that if you go into the Jewish temple, they're actually making those clothes for the priesthood when the temple worship starts up again? Do you know that the breeches that are worn under the robe of the priest go from the waist down to the bottom of the knee? Isn't that interesting? Because that is what it takes for the lower half of your body to cover your nakedness, according to the Bible. But only men were to cover, listen to me, only men were to cover their nakedness by wearing these pants that were long enough to cover the nakedness. Why was that? Because a man, when he did certain work and when he did military service, he had to hike up his robe and put it in his belt, exposing his long enough pants. A woman didn't have those kind of long pants under her robe because her robe was never meant to be pulled up. And she was never meant to have that. That's why the Bible says, gird up your loins like a man. Because a woman wasn't supposed to do that. That was a man. And a woman is not supposed to wear pants. And I hear somebody saying, oh, that's legalism. Legalism. No, that's not legalism. Legalism is salvation by works. That is a standard that, you know what legalism is? It's anybody who has standards that are higher than their standards. And then they accuse the person of legalism. That's a word for the birds. You're not going to intimidate me by that. And you say, Pastor, I don't enjoy this kind of preaching. Well, I don't enjoy the way you may be dressing in public tomorrow. If you don't enjoy my preaching tonight, I don't enjoy that. Now, I love you. I'll welcome you. But I won't delight in that. I'm just saying that the Bible is against unisex. Unisex. In a 2,000-year-old ancient landmark, God says this in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that women, listen, adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now let's take the word modest there. The word modest is the English word translated from the word written in the original majority text, the Textus Receptus, that was kosmios. And that word kosmios has to do, it's defined, listen, as God's order in creating this world and in creating only two distinct sexes, male and female. So when it says in like manner also that women adorn themselves in, listen, modest apparel, the word modest means following the order of your sex. Cosmos, following the order, meaning that there is a difference between the dress of a male and female. That's why he says, he points out women and he points out dressing in the context of this behavior in public. Modest apparel. Thus, when a man puts on a woman's garment, and a woman moves the ancient landmark and puts on pants meant only for men, then that is to go against the modest or cosmios, which is orderly arrangement from God of this whole world that he created. But number two, it says, and let me look at it again, 1 Timothy 2:9, it says in like manner also that women adorn themselves not only in modest or apparel according to their sex, but it says apparel. And what does the word apparel mean? Well, a male apparel is stole, but a woman's apparel written here is the word kata stole. Kata is a preposition over the stole, and what it means is apparel that is a long flowing garment that flows over the curves of the body. It doesn't follow the curves of the body. So when you wear pants, ladies, I can see the curves in your body. For good or bad, it's there. Modest apparel is dressing in an orderly way according to what God says a woman's dress ought to be, which is a long flowing garment that comes down over, covers the knees, and is something that doesn't follow the contours of a woman's body, because she needs special protection. God set it up that way. Now, I know we've thrown that over today. Women say, I'm equal with men, I don't want special protection. And all a woman has done is taken herself down. By being elevated to a man, you actually take yourself down from a pedestal that God puts you on when you wear dresses or modest skirts all the time. Now, by the way, the Bible speaks about the attire of a harlot. You know, the attire of a harlot kind of reminds me of some Catholic girls in these Catholic schools. You ever seen these Catholic girl dresses? They don't even come to the knees many times. And women in the porn industry, listen to me, will dress up in Catholic girl dresses because of the perverted allurement of it. How sad. That's not a modest catastole that flows down over and covers the nakedness. And these slits that some gals wear. These slits, while the dress may be down covering the knee, the slit will go up and go into the thigh. And every time the woman walks, what happens? Flash, 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 flash. And the guy's eyes are going. Because that's the way they're wired. And women know that. God wired it that way. So, slits are for sluts, is a true statement. You say, where'd you get that from? Let me read it. It speaks in Proverbs of the attire of a harlot. The attire of a harlot. Something that is immodest, not godly apparel. And when people get away from a holy God, I find out the more they peel off their clothes. Remember when Peter was backsliding? He took off his fishing coat and he was naked. I'll take off my coat and I'll not be naked. I got a shirt on. But you take off the tie, unbutton it, take off the shirt, take off the undershirt. That's nakedness on a man. You say, well, how do you swim like that? With a shirt on. Not like this, but a shirt for swimming. I have looked at America. I've gone back into the history books. I've looked at Coney Island, New York, and I've looked at the beaches in New York City at the turn of the 20th century and before. And the men had tops on and shorts on that covered their knee when they swam, Brother Joe. And the ladies had on long flowing garments that were modest when they were out on the beach. when they were swimming. God help us to get back and do what God wants us to do. I'll close. Remove not the ancient landmark. And it says, stop removing the landmark of women wearing only dresses and no pants in public, period. I wonder tonight, how about you? Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. Men are to lead their home. Men are to lead their wives. Are you leading